One trend is clear today, and that's that, like many things in computing, Ethernet line rates are increasing exponentially. So given this increase in Ethernet line rates, we as systems researchers need to be able to make sure that our operating systems can do two things. One, we need to be able to continue to drive these increasing line rates, but at the same time, we'd also like to ensure that CPU utilization costs of networking are low. That's because any cycles that we're spending on networking are not usable by the applications for the end jobs and works that we're trying to perform. Fortunately, if we look at Linux today, by and large, we're able to achieve both of these goals. And that's because of two important optimizations that are implemented by our network cards, or NICs. The first one I'm going to talk about is segmentation offload, and the second optimization I'm going to talk about is multi-queue NICs. So segmentation offload, or TCP segmentation offload, or TSO for short, allows us to pass large segments down through the networking stack. This is important for reducing CPU load because many of the costs of our networking stack are on a per packet or per segment basis. They're not per byte costs. So if we increase our segment size, we can amortize these costs and reduce CPU load. And in order to make this work, what our NICs do is we pass down a large segment, then we have hardware in our NIC that's responsible for packetization of these individual segments. And typically, these TSO sizes are on the order of about 64 kilobytes. So the next optimization that allows us to reduce CPU load are multi-queue NICs. So in this figure here on the left, we have a single queue NIC. And if we have multiple cores simultaneously trying to perform network I/O, what happens is that you need to use some sort of combination of locking or pulling to share access to the single FIFO hardware queue exposed by the NIC. And this leads to high cross-core contention overheads. So to avoid these problems, most modern NICs are multi-queue NICs. And so here in the figure on the right, what we have is we have two cores as before, but now each core is dedicated to its own private NIC queue. So in this model, regardless of what another core is doing, each core can independently, without any synchronization, perform network I/O independently. So this is important for reducing CPU load of networking by improving parallelism. However, there's one important fundamental change that happens in our NIC when we move from the single queue model to the multi-queue model. Previously, where software had complete control over what packets were going to be sent out at any point in time, now we have a packet scheduler on our NIC that's responsible for choosing which queue can send packets at any given point in time. And so while these are important for reducing CPU load of networking and allowing us to drive increasing line rates, what we've done now is we've essentially thrown fairness out the window. So for example, in this case, we have three flows. And in this example, we want to provide per flow fairness. And so our ideal packet schedule, we would first send a packet from flow one, flow two, flow three, and repeat this process over and over again. And so what we have happening here is that each flow gets its fair share of the network. However, in practice, in this model that I have here on the left, this is not the packet schedule that's going to be emitted by my NIC. Instead, what's going to happen is I'll start sending a packet from core Q1. Then I'll, because my packet scheduler is in terms of queues, what it's going to do is naive round robin packets across these queues. So next, I'll go to Q2, send a packet from flow two. Then I'll come back to core one, Q1. And because I'm sending large TSO segments, I can't send a packet from flow one. Instead, I'll send another packet from flow two because it's a large segment that's being packetized by the NIC. And this is the first unfairness problem that I'm going to touch on. Ideally, we'd have liked to send a packet from flow three. Instead, we've sent a packet from flow one. I'm going to call this problem TSO unfairness. So moving on, we'll go back round robin to Q2. And so now, when we go back to Q1, we finally finish the TSO segment for flow one. We'll start sending packets for flow three. Again, we'll repeat this round robin process until we've ad nauseum as packets are still available in the queues. And if you see here, this is the second fairness problem that I'm going to touch on. because flows one and flow three were sharing a queue, but my NIC is providing per queue fairness. Now we see that flow two has achieved twice the throughput in this time period as flows one and two. And this is what I'm gonna call the multi-queue unfairness problem. You might be asking yourself, why do I care about fairness? And to that, I'm gonna give three reasons. In order to share the network when we have multiple competing applications, we need to be able to provide some sort of fairness. That's fairly obvious. However, maybe less obvious, fairness even within a single application, consider big data applications like Spark, flow fairness is very important for enabling predictable job completion times. And that's unfairness will lead to extra stragglers and impact the tail of our job completion times. Where if instead we had perfect fairness, we would be able to have perfectly predictable flow completion times. Then lastly, recent work has shown that by cleverly changing flow weights, we can even go and improve application performance. So this brings us to the goals and motivation for Titan. Essentially, what we've done with today's commodity NICs is we've thrown fairness out the window in the name of driving increasing line rates and keeping CPU utilization low. So our goals in Titan is to continue to provide high line rates and low CPU utilization, but we want to be able to add back in per flow fairness. And importantly, one of my goals, this is a real problem today, so our goal is to be able to continue to work on today's commodity NICs so that we can provide a practical, immediately deployable solution. So this is what I'm going to be focusing on for the rest of this talk. At a high level, these two unfairness problems that I've identified all stem from the following mismatch between our network traffic and how the operating system interfaces with our NICs. In particular, measurement studies of data center traffic have found that flows often exhibit on-off behavior. They're frequently starting and stopping. So in the rest of this talk, when I talk about flows starting and stopping, what I mean is even though our connection may be open, at any given point, there will be no bytes enqueued in my operating system's networking stack for that flow. They will enqueue some number of bytes, and these will drain. These flows often exhibit this on-off behavior. And the problem with this on-off behavior with how our operating systems work today is that while our flows are dynamic, our operating systems choose static ways of interfacing and assigning these flows to queues and interacting with the NIC. So in particular, any given flow may be able to go to multiple different queues. And in Linux today, they just use a naive static hashing scheme to try to balance the load of flows across queues. Similarly, my NIC packet scheduler is just naively doing round robin or deficit round robin scheduling of packets across competing queues. And then finally, in the data center, our operating system is just statically choosing a TSO size as large as possible to keep CPU utilization as low as possible. So in contrast, in Titan, what we do is as flows are dynamically starting and stopping in our system, we've modified our operating system and NIC so that the operating system and NIC also dynamically adapt to this change in network load. So at a high level, Titan operates by having the operating system assign some sort of administrative weights to these flows. Then as these flows start and stop and are assigned to queues, we'll track the occupancy weights of these queues. We'll, based on these occupancies, pick appropriate queues for new flows when they start. And then we're going to create a new interface between our operating system and our NIC that enables our operating system to dynamically program and update the NIC packet scheduler with these queue weights, which it then applies with its deficit round robin weight algorithm. So to go into a little bit more detail, I'm gonna focus on these two fairness problems that I identified and talked about earlier, multi-queue unfairness and TSO unfairness. So starting with multi-queue unfairness, in this example, we see that we have an unfair packet schedule like I showed before, and that's because even though we have three queues in this example and three flows, because we did naive hashing, we got a hash collision, and now there's two flows sharing a queue, even though there's an otherwise empty queue. So in Titan, we solve this problem with dynamic queue assignment. So like I said, the operating system maintains some sort of administrative weights for these flows. And in dynamic queue assignment, when a flow first enqueues a byte when it was otherwise had no bytes enqueued, we'll run a dynamic queue assignment algorithm. And what this amounts to is we greedily pick the queue that has the lowest occupancy. This is important. While we could be doing this on a per segment basis, this would cause problems with TCP due to packet reordering. So essentially, only when we know it's safe because there are no bytes enqueued for the flow will we run our queue assignment algorithm. And this has a nice side effect of also being able to reduce the CPU overheads of the extra computation of dynamic queue assignment. And also, because we're only doing this when bytes are not enqueued, this also bounds the CPU overhead of this algorithm, because at most, it's going to be run once per TX interrupt. And so in dynamic queue assignment, in this example shown above, what would happen is we now will have each flow with their own queue. And this allows us to get our ideal packet schedule, like we showed before. However, this alone isn't enough to solve this multi-queue unfairness problem. And this is where we go to this following example, where we have four flows and three queues. No matter how intelligently we perform queue assignment, there will always be one queue that has more flows than the others. And so in this example, F1 and F2 receive half the throughput of the other flows. To solve this problem, we introduce a new interface between the operating system and the NIC, that we call dynamic queue weight assignment. In Linux, we have implemented this as a new NDO, the NDO set TX weight. So what happens is, as in DQA, we're maintaining these queue occupancy weights internally. But with DQA, these were operating system only constructs. What we do in dynamic queue weight assignment is we take these weights and we push them down to the NIC so that it can update its packet scheduler. And this is, like I said, one of our goals for Titan was to be able to ensure that we could work on commodity Ethernet NICs. And importantly, this new NDO is implementable today. So in order, if I have packets of different size and different queues, I need to implement something like deficit round robin to ensure that it can even get per queue fairness given this asymmetry and differences in packet size. And so all that really DQA boils down to is that we're dynamically programming these deficit round robin weights on a per queue basis rather than setting them statically in advance like was done today. So if we go again to this example, what will happen is I will set a queue weight of 2 for 1, which will mean I will send 2 packets worth of data from Q1 before moving on to Qs 2 and Q3. And so what happens now is we get this packet scheduler. I send 2 packets from flow 1, 1 packet from flow 3, 1 packet from flow 4. Now I've finished my flow 1 TSO segment, I'll repeat. And so with these two techniques, dynamic queue assignment, dynamic queue weight assignment combined, we're able to provide long-term fairness, where before we had significant and pervasive unfairness in the Linux stack. However, this alone doesn't solve the fairness problem completely. While we get long-term fairness, it's not able to provide fairness in the short term. And that's because of this TSO segments causing head-of-line blocking. And this is particularly harmful to the network. What this means is that I'm sending at line rate a large TSO segment, 64 kilobytes, so 50-ish packets at once as a bullet train coming out my network. If I have in-cache scenarios, this can be particularly problematic, causing congestion and packet losses, and ultimately poor TCP performance. So to solve this problem, we introduce dynamic segmentation offload sizing. And so what happens in dynamic segmentation offload sizing is when a flow has a queue to itself, things happen as before in Linux, where we continue to pass large 64 kilobyte segments through the stack. However, if after the queue assignment algorithm is run, I see that we now have multiple flows sharing a queue, what dynamic segmentation offload sizing does is it resegments the packets to a smaller size so that we can avoid this head-of-line blocking problem while still gaining the benefits of pushing large segments through our routing TCP IP stack. Essentially, this gives us a better CPU versus fairness trade-off than was previously available. And here, in this example, we see that with all of these three algorithms combined, we're able to achieve our ideal packet schedule. Like I said, One of our main goals in Titan is to work on commodity operating systems and NICs. So to show that this is possible, in our implementation, we modified Linux 4.4.6 to support these three algorithms, and then we implemented support for this new network device operation in the Intel's iXGBE driver, which is open source, and the data sheets for the 82599 NIC are also open and available. In a similar spirit, we released Titan as open source. I'm going to put this URL up at the end, but feel free to go check it out if you want. So given that we have this implementation, we'd like to show that we can improve fairness. And to do this, we're going to start by performing a series of micro benchmarks, where we have only two servers and one switch on an otherwise uncongested network. We're going to use an 8-core server with an with a NIC configured to use 8 queues. What we're going to do is we're going to vary the level of oversubscription in terms of number of flows to queues. So we're going to keep our number of queues constant and vary the number of flows that are active at any given point in time. So given this, we're going to incrementally look at the benefit of each of these algorithms with the expected benefit of queue assignment and queue weight assignment being that we will improve long-term fairness. So we're going to look at fairness over 1 second time scale. And then the expected benefit of dynamic segmentation offload sizing is short-term fairness. So we're going to look at fairness on a 1 millisecond time scale. Well, I've said we're going to be looking at fairness. That begs the question, how are we going to evaluate? What metric are we going to use? So to do this, we use a normalized fairness metric that is inspired by the original deficit round robin paper. In particular, this is a worst case metric. So if we, for a given window, we'll take the flow that sent the most bytes and the flow that sent the fewest bytes. We'll take the difference, then we're going to normalize this to the fair share rate that each flow would have. If this isn't clear intuition for this metric, a normalized fairness metric of 0 is going to be perfectly fair, and anything with a normalized fairness metric greater than 1 is significantly unfair. So given this metric, we're going to start looking at fairness on a 1 millisecond time scale. So first, let's just look at how fair Linux is when we go and evaluate it. And what we see here, at under subscription, 6 flows, we have 8 queues, we still have unfairness because of these hash collisions. And then as we increase oversubscription, fairness gets worse for some period of time, and then eventually we start to get to this stochastic period where fairness is still bad, but not as bad. And so ideally, we would like to be able to improve fairness in all of these operating regimes. So first, let's look at dynamic queue assignment. What we see here is that at 6 flows, dynamic queue assignment in this undersubscribed case is able to provide near perfect fairness. At oversubscription, because we have an asymmetric, our number of flows aren't evenly divisible always by our number of queues, we will have some unfairness, but we see that across the board at these oversubscription levels, these low oversubscription levels, DQA improves fairness. However, at 48 flows, because we're only doing this queue assignment when flows start, as flows stop, what can happen is we will again get asymmetry. So we see that at low levels of oversubscription and undersubscription, queue assignment is able to improve fairness. However, once we get to these stochastic or high levels of oversubscription, DQA has too much turn to improve things. And this is where dynamic queue weight assignment is a complementary algorithm. And what we see here is that we're able to improve fairness, especially at this stochastic or highly oversubscribed case. However, if we go and move forward and add in dynamic segmentation offload sizing, as expected, on these long-term timescales, it has little impact. So this brings us to the shorter timescale, the 1 millisecond timescale. What we see here is that at these short timescales, TSO unfairness is the dominant effect that prevents us from achieving fairness. So dynamic queue assignment and dynamic queue weight assignment, they're not able to significantly improve upon Linux. However, with dynamic segmentation offload sizing, we're often able to reduce unfairness by a factor of 2. Moving on, we would also like to show that with congestion inside of my network, and we would be able to also improve fairness. So to do this, we do a workload that's inspired by the shuffle phase of big data applications, where we have 24 servers attached to a single switch that are all sending 1 gigabyte of data to every other server in the cluster. And so to evaluate this, we look at the total flow, the CDF of the total flow completion times for the flows in the shuffle. This might be a hard graph to interpret, but for intuition, ideally, we would have a vertical line for the CDF. This is that perfectly predictable performance that I was talking about before. So what we see here is that Linux has poor performance and is not as predictable as Titan. And also importantly, our big data applications are often constrained by these stragglers in our tail performance. So looking at the CDF, we see that Titan is able to improve performance at the tail of our distribution. And this is all done without changing the underlying raw throughput. This is just changing the allocation and how we're dividing up our network and sharing it among the different flows. We're still able to see tail performance improvements. Importantly, this is all achievable without making any scheduling changes in our network core. While certainly as we go to larger hierarchical topologies, we'll need to make changes and improvement in this core, but you can't get fairness inside of your network if your flows are not leaving fair in the first place. So I'm unfortunately a little bit short on time. There's other performance metrics we care about. Throughput is largely unaffected. Latency is also largely unaffected. However, there is not a free lunch with Titan. It does come at some cost of extra CPU. Often, this is less than 10%. And dynamic segmentation offload sizing, although it has a more favorable trade-off, this also motivates making a better, more flexible TSO implementation. Also, we've done a characteristic trade-off study of Linux. See the paper if you're interested to see how other optimizations impact fairness. So in conclusion, I've shown that multi-queue NICs can lead to significant and pervasive unfairness, but these problems can be practically solved today on commodity NICs, and that Titan is able to significantly improve fairness at multiple timescales and oversubscription levels. And if you're interested, please check out the open source repository. Thank you. Sorry if I went a bit too long, but if you have any questions, I'd be more than happy to try to answer them.
Wen Ji from Fermilab. I have two questions. First, and you do the perform the dynamic queue selection. So how do you prevent the packet reordering? And do you have an experiment to prove your mechanisms work?
Yeah. So we don't have an experiment to prove it, but essentially, Linux, in order to avoid buffer bloat through an optimization called TCP small queues, is already tracking the number of outstanding enqueued bytes in the networking stack. And so reusing this counter, we will only perform queue reassignment once we know that there are no bytes outstanding for the flow. So this is sufficient to prove that we will never perform packet reordering.
Second, and if you introduce so many dynamic mechanisms in the queue level, and there's a 40 gig NIC and 100 gig NIC, so how much overheads you introduce to your to the CPUs?
Yeah, so in our experimentations, we found that these overheads were often less than 10%. However, as part of future work, you raise a good point. We need to push this evaluation further to 100 gig and beyond NICs.
But yeah, it's 10 gig and 100 gig, totally different.
Yeah, and so that's part of our future work.
Okay, thank you.
Bob Lance, MiniNet Project. So I like this a lot. I just sort of wonder, though, that if, you know, about is fairness what you really want and what kind of fairness you may want? I wonder, you know, could you apply this to perhaps other kinds of fairness that you might want? For example, fairness across tenants, fairness across applications where, you know, in a multi-tenant or application, multi-application scenario, you don't flow fairness is not necessarily what you want.
Yeah, and also, so, I'm sorry. That's a great question. And so I would say that today, application programmers, or at least the network, is expected to provide per-flow fairness. So as a first step, given that we have an unfair NIC, we would like to be able to make it flow fair. However, that isn't the stopping point. What we really want is we have some sort of administrative, higher-level network policy. And so as part of future work, we're working on how we can push this further and make our NIC packet scheduler more programmable. But I think this is an important first step, importantly in that it works today and doesn't require new hardware.